Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we open up your word this morning and we take a look at it, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would minister your word to us, that it would fill us, that it would strengthen us, that it would give us the endurance and the necessary nourishment to run the race, to win the race for you. This morning, Lord, I pray for your guidance and your leadership in preparing for this message, and that your word truly would go forth. Not my words, but yours, that it would minister and that it would help. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray for this opportunity to study your word, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would think back a few weeks ago, it was on Mother's Day that I gave a message in regards to a particular individual in the Bible. And if you may not recall exactly who that was, it was Naomi from the book of Ruth. I used her as an example for Mother's Day. I thought she set an excellent example as a mother, especially to her two daughter-in-laws. I used the example of her life and especially that relationship to her daughter-in-laws so that hopefully you would get out of that message an inspiration to see that it's important to lead and guide as she had done for her family. We had looked at she and her husband and her two sons who came from Bethlehem, had encountered a famine that was brought by God. It was at a time of the judges when Israel really turned their backs on God. It seems as though at each time you read in that book of Judges, it was written that Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And because of their rebellion, this famine would have come upon them. That at this time now, Elimelech, Naomi, and her two son, and their two sons would leave Bethlehem in search of food. That they were looking for some sort of a rest from the famine. They gave in to their physical desires for the food, and they traveled. They sojourned down into Moab in order to look for food. Now this famine was brought upon Israel as a punishment for their rebellion, but yet they were trying to escape it, and they go down into Moab, whereupon her two sons, Naomi's two sons, married two young ladies, Moabites, in an attempt to escape that punishment that God had brought. In doing so, a punishment does come about to Naomi's family, where she loses her husband, then her two sons. And so we get to the point of the story of the book of Ruth, in that where it is Naomi left with her two daughter-in-laws. And with nowhere to turn, she decides it's time to go back home, that she's going to return to Bethlehem. So hopefully, out of that message from Mother's Day, at least you got an idea, an inspiration from the life of Naomi and the way that she conducted herself with her daughter-in-laws. The witness. Just want to... We read in the first chapter of Ruth, verses 16 and 17, where it says, "But Ruth, one of her daughter-in-laws, who was with Naomi, says to Naomi, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me.'" Now this was coming from Naomi's daughter-in-law. So you can see how much she must have witnessed and how much she meant to Ruth. For her to make this oath, to make this vow that they should never separate, that even death, that only death would be what separates them, that they were going to be committed to one another throughout their lives. Well, at the end of that Mother's Day service, someone came to me and asked if we would continue through the book of Ruth. And I thought, well, this might be a good opportunity to continue to look at this particular book from the Old Testament. So we left off last time with chapter 1 and verse 18, and it was Naomi and Ruth as they head back to Bethlehem. Well, I'd like to take it this time to look at the rest of that chapter, 19 through 22. Reading in Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Lord, for the Almighty, has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. It was at this time, probably a number of years that had gone by, many years when Naomi and Elimelech and her two sons had left Bethlehem. She probably left Bethlehem in fairly good condition as a much younger woman, leaving that area, and that's how these people would have remembered her. She left in one way, probably appearing one way, and now that she has come back after all these years, after all the hardships that she's gone through, in losing her husband, in losing her two sons, and coming back to her home in Bethlehem, she probably had a much different appearance. I know even with myself, yesterday we were at my mother-in-law's house, and she broke out wedding pictures, first of her wedding and then of ours. And as I looked at those pictures of Olivia and myself, I do not look the same as I did back then. I look much better today, believe me. So you can just imagine how bad I looked back then. Each day I just get better looking all the time. So it really was quite amazing to see the difference in the way that we look. But it is still good. So here this woman arrives back into her hometown, and it causes a stir throughout the community of Bethlehem. And they ask, "Is this Naomi? Is this the woman who had left so long ago with her husband and her two sons?" And at a time when they had the famine, they wanted to leave that behind them. They wanted to set out to sojourn to an area where they would be able to flourish and find food and be able to live a life that they had been used to. So they walked away from the famine in hopes of finding better. And they could not understand that this is the same Naomi that had left. Is this really her? Naomi's visual testimony here as she enters back into Bethlehem is quite a statement into what God's judgment had been. They tried to flee from the famine that everyone else had to go through. They tried in their best physical means to be able to escape that hardship. Yet they could not escape judgment from God. She left one way and coming back a different person. She understood the circumstances of which she was coming back and what had transpired in her life. When she says in verse 20, "Do not call me Naomi," and that means my pleasantness. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." How many times have we heard someone who has gone through some sort of a difficulty in their life and that they will turn around and be bitter? That they will say that whatever came about in their life was unjust. That it was a time where God punished them or brought some kind of a calamity in their life, because He is sovereign. He is in control. And yet, rather than saying that it was something that they had done, rather they'd say, "No, I'm bitter towards God. I'm turning my back. How can this loving God, who is so good, so generous to everybody, have inflicted me with such a hardship?" rather than saying, Lord, allow me to repent and come back. Here you can see that Naomi knew the sovereignty of God. She knew that he was in control of the situation throughout her entire life. Whether it was in the judgments that came about, she knew that it was God's working in her life. And so many people will turn and say, God has dealt with me so. But they will blame it all on God. And they will turn bitter. And their bitterness will be towards God. And they will say, no, I can't worship this God. A God who could allow such calamity as 9/11, or a hurricane, or a tornado, or a tsunami, or any of these things. It could not be. That's not the one whom I would want to worship. They see hard times as only being things that are inflicted upon them for no reason at all. And they ask the question, why me? When the question really should be, why not me? When we all understand that we stand before God as sinners, separated from Him, we should say, why not me? I deserve that. But being of God's people, being in Christ, we understand that He is the one who is in control. And He softens our hearts to understand these things. And we see that hearts can grow bitter and cold, and they can walk away from God instead of being like Job, where Job would say, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? He understood who was in control. He understood that the blessings came from God, and the afflictions also come from God. Job, as well as Naomi, understood the sovereignty of God. They knew their Creator. They knew that He had created the heavens and the earth, and that along with all its inhabitants and all that they see, that their Creator holds everything in His hands. He is the one who gives life, and He is the one who takes it. He is in control. Naomi's wanting her name changed to Mara, which means bitter, was to show that the Almighty, that God, the Almighty, the most powerful, the only living God, had dealt bitterly with her. She clearly knew that the misfortune that she encountered came as a judgment from God. And we see it in verse 21, which tells it, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Now, where have we heard that type of a story before? Does Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32 ring a bell? It is the story of the prodigal son. The one son who requested his inheritance, received it, and went out. He was full. He had everything, all this wealth. He was going to be able to whip the world because he was a rich man now. And he goes out, but yet he comes back to his father, empty, broken, with nothing. He had been brought to the point where, as a Jew, he was in the pig pen with the pigs, taking care of them. There could be no lower place. He was empty. He returned back to his father, and his father welcomed him home into his father's house, where he would have been satisfied with being a servant, but rather the father said, no, you are a son of mine, and you should live this way. This is a beautiful example of salvation and the way it comes to each and every one of us. Are we not full of ourselves in our life as we go about before we know the Lord? We have everything. Oh, I have a great education. I have the great strength. I have the ability to do this. I can do all these things with my life. I'm full of myself. But when the Holy Spirit comes and God's voice says to you, you are a sinner, and He convicts you of sin, and you hear the verdict being said to you in your ear, you are guilty. As a sinner, you fall short of the glory of God. You have no right to stand in His presence. You are convicted. The Holy Spirit certainly makes it clear. It breaks us. It leaves us empty. We have nowhere to turn at that point. We see there's only one place, and that is back to our home, back to our Father. And He is there to welcome us back, just as the prodigal son was welcomed back, not as a slave, but as a son. And he welcomes us back as well. Before we were full of our self-righteousness, it was upon our own merits that would gain us entrance into heaven. I'm a good person. I haven't done anything wrong. But when that Holy Spirit comes and he convicts us and shows us that we are convicted, we are broken, we are empty. And we then cry out and say, "Save me. I need a Savior." Our eyes are open. There is no fear of God. We can return to him and we can come back and stand in his presence in Christ. Similarly here with this life of Naomi, she had been broken. She had nowhere to turn as a woman who was so far away from her home in Moab. She then decided to return back to her home. We see that David had this encounter as well. He was pretty much full of himself as king of Israel at the time, and he then going with Bathsheba. And from the consequences of his sin, he is broken. And he writes in Psalm 51, "A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." These words of David shows that he was broken and that he had a desire then to be filled by God. And in our fullness with him, we have more than we could ever wish for. When he says to us that my grace is sufficient for you, that we understand that whatever trial, whatever hardship we go through, he is there beside us. He is there to carry us through. And we have the confidence then to know who our Lord and our Savior is, and that it is by his grace that we are saved. And all we can say is thank you and amen. Well, we see in verse 22 of this first chapter, and it concludes the chapter with Naomi and Ruth being in Bethlehem at a time of the beginning of the barley harvest. Ruth being a Moabite and not being of the same people as Naomi is an important fact. And here I see because we see that God's salvation is not directed only to one particular people, but it is going to go to all peoples of the world. The Israelites were God's covenant people, they were his people that he had chosen to give the law, to give them the sign of the covenant, to give them circumcision. He brought them out of Egypt and into their own land. He had showed his mercy and his grace to them. But it's not going to end with one particular national people. It is going to go out to all people. And here we see, through the testimony of Naomi in Moab, to be able to share the blessings of her God with Ruth, that Ruth desires to have a relationship with this God who is of the people of Israel. That God's salvation is not going to one people, but it's going to go and be bestowed to the Gentiles as well. And here we see that it's mentioned that it's at the beginning of the barley harvest. And it's kind of important that it's mentioned here. Barley is a grain that is pretty much grown throughout the area of Palestine. And at this time, if there was a failure of the barley crop, it meant very hard times, because it was used primarily to feed the livestock to keep them going. But it was also used as a grain to make bread, mostly for the poorer people. It was a bread that was used when we see the story of Jesus who fed the 5,000. It was the barley loaves that he had. It was a food or a bread that was primarily given to the poor. And here we see that as they return, it is at the time of the harvest, the beginning of the harvest. It would be a time in the calendar of around Passover. It was one of the first crop. It was the first crop to be harvested, and it would cause a great celebration in the giving of the first portion of that. There would be great rejoicing and coming together to remember the poor as well. So it is at this time that Naomi and Ruth enter back into Bethlehem. Bethlehem also meaning house of bread. They return now at a time of the barley harvest, and it would be at a time where God's favor was shown in that the crop was coming in, and it was the beginning of a fruitful restoration. I think there's also a picture here as well, a picture of resurrection, where we see the harvesting taking place, and that it's not just one particular people, but that it is the resurrection of the two, Israelite and Gentile. And they're coming together, and we see how Paul talks of this in Ephesians chapter 2, being brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, making the two into one new man. By God's grace, his message goes out to both Jew and Gentile. And here we see the two coming back into Bethlehem at a time where there is a harvest. They're coming back into the favor of God. The Bible is clear that certain events happen, and then we can see the picture and how in redemptive history it's being fulfilled. And through this small event, we get a little glimpse of that parallel of the resurrection as they come back into Bethlehem. We'll move on then, beginning with chapter 2. We see in verse 1 of chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Naomi had a kinsman. Now this word kinsman could be a relative or a close friend. This particular individual, Boaz, was a relative of her on her husband's side of the family. And he was a wealthy man. In the relationship that Naomi and Boaz had, it would have been as in-laws, is important. Because we see in law that was given to Israel, in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, it says, if a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor, he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. It is amazing how the Bible knows how to get man to conduct themselves properly in this life. That it gives us these instructions for showing how we are God's people. Here, there's a lesson to Israel, but it is a lesson to all of us. Because what is the result of this law where one should buy back property of another who loses it? There is an illustration of love here. And is that not what the commandments are hung on? That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and spirit, and that you should love your neighbor as yourself. This is what all the law rests on, that we demonstrate the love that God has for us to one another. It is not the government's responsibility to take care of the poor or to minister to them. It is us. It is us who are the believers, that we, in ministering to the poor or helping someone out, are demonstrating and showing that there is a love that we have for our neighbor. And in this lesson, it is important to see that through this family relation that Naomi had with Boaz, that it's going to come about in an illustration, a beautiful illustration of salvation and how important it is to have the right relationships. So here we see that they enter in, and it's mentioned that Naomi has this kinsman of her husband, who is Boaz. We look at verses 2-5. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" Here is another law which was given to help the poor. We read in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Now leaving the corners of your field and leaving whatever grain possibly might fall onto the ground was to be for the poor. The poor were not just to sit idly by and have somebody come and collect it for them and give it to them. No, they were to go out into the field, and whatever was left on the corners of that field, of that crop, was theirs. Whatever might have been fallen onto the ground was theirs. And this is what Ruth is going to do. She goes out into that field to glean. Gleaning was not an easy process. Picking or harvesting might have been an easier process because you'd go out and take the crop and probably use some sort of knife or what have you and cut it down and take it away. But to glean meant that you had to go out and pick it up. Pick pieces up little by little in order to be able to have enough to make bread or what have you. So it was a difficult process. And now here is Boaz looking out onto his field, and he sees this young woman who is out there. Could be that she was a beautiful young woman that caught his eye, that requires him to ask who she is. It could be that she's working hard, that she's out in that field trying to gather enough food for her and Naomi, and that seeing a woman working so hard could have caught his eye, and for him to say, who is this that she'd be out in my field gathering it up? In any case, it sounds as though it's all by chance that she just happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. None of these things are just coincidences. God works all these things out. He knows the needs of Naomi and for Ruth. He gives them this opportunity to be able to go out, or Ruth anyway, to go out into the field, to glean, to pick up the grain, to bring it back. And it just doesn't so happen that she goes across Boaz's field. It is meant for these two people to come together. It is God's ordained purpose that they come together. Because eventually, as we continue through this book, we will see the result of their coming together and having children and so on and so forth, that it turns out that they're the great-grandparents of the king of Israel. So it's important that we see that these things are in God's sovereign hand, and that He is in control, and that He has ways of providing for those who are in need and the poor. And this is one of the fine examples of how God works out His plan of salvation. It's interesting that today, if Boaz was standing there and looked out on the field and saw a young woman gleaning out in the field, he could have Googled her name. Or looked up her Facebook. But no, he has to ask his servant and to find out who this is. And it was nicer that they had this opportunity to be more face-to-face and become more personable and get to know one another on a more human level. So we see here in the book of Ruth how God's sovereign plan is working out, how He works amongst His people, and how He brings the lives of individuals together, whether they be of Israelites or Gentiles. When they come to know who God is, He is still the Master and the Lord of all of us. We read in Proverbs 16:9, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And we'll see that clearly here in the book of Ruth, that God had chastened Naomi for a reason. That the punishments, that the judgments that came upon Israel in her attempt to flee from them with her husband and children, the punishment still came upon Naomi, which brings her back. It breaks her and brings her back to her home. And we see that as a result of that, she is bringing back Ruth with her. And here shows a beautiful example of a witness that went out to somebody who did not know the God of Israel, but now knows the one true living God, the Almighty God. There is a beautiful story then in the relationship of Ruth and Boaz as God blesses them and brings them together. There is a beautiful love story between a man and a woman, but there is also a beautiful story of God and His people in salvation. So even though this is a small book and it's filled with many lessons, it is filled with many lessons of faith and of love. And hopefully, as we continue to look at the book and continue through the pages, that we will learn to know God's working in our own lives and how He directs our steps. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank You for this lesson. We thank You for the book of Ruth and the way that You have brought these two people, Boaz and Ruth, together. That these two individuals certainly show Your hand in their lives. And as we walk about in our lives today, that we would see Your hand directing us as well. That You would lead our lives down paths where we would have opportunities to share the knowledge of the one true living God, the God Almighty. So Lord, we thank You, and we just give You all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.